It's already buzzing in here. It's like electric. I think these guys who came like from witnessing today, they brought back like the electric spirit. The band caught on to it. Everyone just pressing in, getting free. I mean, if you're not feeling it, okay. So here's my request for you. When I'm done preaching, teaching here. Tonight, we're going to ask everyone just to come up for the song, okay, that we do then. And I want everyone who's hungry and everyone wants more of God just to come up and press in, and you're just going to sense that presence, amen, that's here. That it's already here. You just got to step into it, amen. So from the back row to the front row, when I'm done, I'm going to invite you up. You need to just come, and if you feel uncomfortable, do that. Just do it uncomfortably, amen. It's true. You can take that one to the bank. That's a key to success right there. Just do it. Amen. So let's pray. Father, my name is Pastor Mike. For you guys who don't know me, so it's good to be able to preach for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you tonight. Father, we thank you for revelation knowledge in this place, Father God. We thank you that you lift up our heads and you just go right into our spirits, Father God, with your words, with your truth, in the name of Jesus. And everyone who receives that said, amen. Amen. So I'm not going to be teaching on fasting, but I want to talk about fasting for a second because we're in the midst of a 21-day fast, you guys. And so my question to you is how is your fast going? How many people have decided to do something during the fast, one thing or another during the fast? Amen. So we get a majority here, and that's pretty awesome. And when I fast, I'm going to share some stuff with you, but when we fast, we definitely get such a spiritual benefit. But I also look at it as my yearly weight drop time, too. And I have a scale. I bought a scale that actually, when you step on it, it keeps track, like on a graph of every time you ever stepped on it, okay? So check out, who's my person back there? Check out my graph. Where is it? Jada, you stay with me. Guys, this is last January, and this is now, okay? And nowhere else does it indicate that I went on a 21-day fast during the year. Amen? You can turn that off. But I want to talk practically about fasting real quick, because a lot of people, they don't get all the benefits that they should get out of their fast, and it's really important. There's a lot of benefits out of it. I'll just kind of share what we're doing in our house right now. So for me, we start off the fast with, you know, about 3 days of just water, just liquids, okay? So no food, just to kind of kickstart it into overdrive. And then after that, what I personally do is I do no food during the day, and then I have one Daniel meal at night, okay? So a Daniel meal, like for example, I'll have like vegetable soup and a salad, all right? So the Daniel kind of thing. Now my wife is doing two shakes a day. So one is like a powder shake and the other one is like all this green stuff in it type of thing, amen? And then all my younger kids, we have them all doing the Daniel fast, okay, which is kind of like a boring vegetarian diet type of thing. But when you have like, you know, more than one kid and they all, I'm going to do this and I'm going to, it's like, no, you're all doing Daniel and we're all going to feed you at once and you're all going to eat the same thing. And it's just easier for us to help keep you on track as far as that goes. Now, on a spiritual basis, what we do is my wife and I at night is we seek God with extra prayer during that time. So hopefully you guys, you should all have your own personal prayer time with God. Hopefully you start your day with God, because when you give God your first, he gives you the best, amen? So when you give him the last, he gives you the, we don't even want to go there. But, so hopefully you have your own spirit prayer time. But what we do is at night is we take some extra time to pray and pray in the spirit and seek God. And then, if we have time during the day, we'll do that as well. We'll take some time and we'll pray and we'll do some extra stuff, okay? Remember, you guys, a fast is not a hunger strike. You're not just stopping eating. The Bible always talks about fasting and praying, humbling yourself, seeking the Lord with fasting and prayer, okay? So hopefully you're able to do that as well. And then what we do is we don't watch any, like, regular TV during our fast. What we'll do is we'll watch something spiritual at night. So we'll put something on like preaching or teaching or something that kind of feeds our spirit. Amen? Because if you're not going to eat food for 21 days, you at least better get something spiritual out of it, right? That's the goal of this, is not to just torture yourself, but to actually get something from God during it. Now, my wife and I were teaching the third year Bible school. Hey, listen, you guys, we have a Bible school here. A lot of you guys wish you were a little more disciplined. You wish you were more serious about the things of God. You know that God wants you to do something like that, and you just got to, like, step out by faith. So we were in this awesome third-year class, and we're teaching on the ministry gifts. And, you know, that's the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. We're talking about the ministry gifts. And I gave, like, our class a little homework. I said, if you guys want to see a real evangelist, I want you to look this up on YouTube. I want you to look up Steve Hill, the Brownsville Revival. Now, all you note takers, you should be writing this down right now, okay? Steve Hill, the Brownsville Revival. And I said, check him out and you'll see what an evangelist looks like. Someone who, like, everything they preach ends up in souls. Everything they preach. So what I did is I went home and I did my own homework, and I YouTubed the Brownsville Revival. And oh my goodness, you guys, so good. Started on Father's Day, 1995. Evangelist comes to the church, and then 5 years later, they're still having revival. Over 1 million people come through the church, hundreds of thousands of people saved, the power of God in presence, and that stuff's on YouTube, guys. You should be checking that out. So we kind of, last Monday, we turned on Brownsville, and we haven't stopped watching it since. So good. So good. So one thing we do, and we use our fast to do this, is we usually do not set goals like New Year's goals, my wife and I. And if you have New Year's goals, that's fine. For us, what we do is we wait till we're in the fast, we seek God, and then get our 2022 direction. Does that make sense? I'd rather make up some goals for the year and some direction in the year while we're in the midst of a fast than just trying out of my head on December 28th to try to figure out some stuff. So we do that. But some of you, in your fast, you need to believe for bondages to be broken in your life. Amen? This is a time where the bondages can break off your life. Because here's what you're doing. You're putting the flesh down. And the flesh has been so strong, and it's held you in bondage. But listen, all my smokers out there. This is the time to say bye to the cigarettes. You need to let that addiction that has just driven you go away, because you know what? The flesh is down and the spirit is up. It's time to let that go. My drinkers, the ones who like to get drunk, you need to let the wine go and you need to let the booze go. This is the time during the fast to let the addictions be broken. There are so many things. Listen. You just need to ask the Holy Spirit and say, what's my addiction? What am I hung up on? This is the time to just put it away, put it aside. You need to take your cigarettes. You need to just crush them, throw them away, and then dedicate yourself to God and start to fast. And you'll see that that will be broken in your life, because your flesh is weak, but your spirit is strong. Amen? Amen. That was all just a little bonus. That's not what I'm going to talk about tonight, but so real quick, I'm gonna be teaching tonight, and then not next week, but then the week after. Okay. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get a good start tonight, but we're not gonna finish. We'll finish it in 2 weeks. But what we have next week, you guys, is the Jesus encounter. Can I get that slide behind me? Jesus encounter. So the Jesus encounter is a Holy Spirit service, you guys. And on Sunday nights, we have some of those times where we have a Holy Spirit service. But listen, try to look for some people who need a touch from heaven. even sinners, even people who don't know better, just say, hey, listen, do you want to come and feel God? What do you mean feel God? Yeah, you can feel God. What do you, feel God? Yeah, you need to come out. Because on a Holy Ghost service, on a Jesus encounter, man, the anointing is strong if you're hungry. Amen? So we encourage you, don't let it be a selfish take care of me time. Try to think of someone else and bring them out to a Jesus encounter. Here's the thing. A Jesus encounter is a Holy Spirit service. When the Holy Spirit starts moving, things sometimes get out of control. And what I mean by control is if you like things properly in line, the Holy Ghost likes to mess that up, okay? And so sometimes someone over here will jump and scream, okay, right when you didn't want them to jump and scream. And then someone over here will fall on the ground and roll around. And, you know, they're just having their experience with God, right? And it's just the fire starts to come. And so you bring these friends with you, and they're just like, what is going on here, right? But here's the deal. You just need to get the freak out stuff out of the way, okay? Because it only happens once, okay? So you need to bring them, let them get freaked out, and then explain to them what was going on. Let God touch them, and then they're just good to go, okay? Don't hold people back from the power of God. Push them into it. Let them get freaked out, and then that's it. They won't be freaked out anymore. It's done. They had their freak out session, okay? So Jesus encounter next week. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. So what I start tonight, we're going to finish in 2 weeks. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say freak out session. He does not want a freak out session. Guys, I want to talk to you tonight about foundations, okay? Super important. Super important, okay? And again, I'm not going to finish it tonight, but we will talk about it. And foundation is important. It is so super important, okay? And in a house, a building, in a house or a building, the foundation is always the first thing that's worked on. Always. Always starts with the foundation. So before you go up, you have to go down. So if you look at this picture right here, this is a picture of a foundation. Come on, people. Picture. There you go. This is a picture of a big building. You can notice that they've dug way down into the ground, okay? And what they try to do is they try to reach bedrock. Bedrock is the stable rock that's below there. And then they put these pilings in here. And then once they have a good foundation, they begin to build upward, okay? And as a Christian, if you don't have a good foundation, you're not going to be able to build upward. God's not going to be able to build what he needs to build on you. Some of you are spinning your wheels because your foundation was never set properly. You never had the foundation of the Word of God and the important things that need to take place. So you're never amounting to anything because anything you build on it falls over and it feels like you're always starting over again. It's because the foundation needs to be looked at. And really, at the beginning of our spiritual life, we need to start with the new birth. And the new birth is super important. Listen, you guys. If you know what the new birth is, or to be born again, or to be born of the Spirit, you know what I'm talking about, but not everyone knows what that means, okay? There are people who come to church, and they think because they come to a church that they're a Christian, okay? Guys, just because I slept in my garage last night does not make me a car, okay? So where you are doesn't make you something, right? You are what you are based on an experience. You're a Christian because of a new birth experience. Check out this word right here, you guys, in John chapter 3. Jesus answered him and said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So you might try to get to the kingdom another way than being born again or being born of the Spirit. But trust me, you will not see the kingdom of God. Some people, out of their pride, resist the way of the Bible, and they said, I'm a good person. I've never hurt anyone. I've never killed anyone. I feel like I'm going to go to heaven. What that is they're creating a God after their own imagination. They've created an idol that isn't God, and they're breaking his commandments right there. Have no idols before me. So people have these imaginations of why they should be going to heaven, but it's an imagination they made up. That's not the God of the Bible. God said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. If you are not born of the Spirit, you are just south of heaven. You must be born again, and to be born again is a spiritual rebirth in the inner man. Let me sum it up to you this way. God looked down at his creation, okay, and he said, every imagination of their heart is wicked. Everything that they do ends up in sin and wickedness, and they're lost. And they need help. They need a savior. They need someone to come save them, because left to themselves, they've painted themselves in a place of sin and wickedness that has separated them from me, because wickedness cannot stand in God's presence. And he knew we were separated. So he went down in the form of a man, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, and lived a life with a singular mission to die in your place as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God. Every sin that was ever done by anyone in here, every sin was put on him. And then he went where sinners go. He descended into the lower parts of the earth to pay your punishment for you. Jesus took your place, the substitute for every man. He tasted death for every man. He took our place. And on the third day, he rose up by the power of the Spirit and declared, "All who call on my name shall be saved." A sinner needs to say, "God, I am a sinner. I am without you, and I need a Savior. Jesus, be that Savior. Come in my heart and save me." A penitent sinner who does that will be born of the Spirit and born again. Now, what happened in that new birth is what I want to talk about. Those are some of the things that I want to talk about over the next few weeks, because this is where your foundation comes in. And if you don't know what happened in the new birth, you have a weak foundation. And we want you to have a deep foundation and a strong foundation and something that is built in the rock, so when the wind and the waves come, you're not going to bend, you're not going to be blown off course, you're not going to be filled with crying and complaining. You are going to stay the course because of your foundation. Amen? When you are born again, you are literally transformed by the Spirit. The Bible says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. You have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Literally, here's the thing. The Bible says that you become a new creation. It says you become something that did not exist. So sometimes we picture the new birth as a refurbishment. I got a new coat of paint. I got fixed up. No, you didn't. You got born again, and the old you was done away with, and in your spirit, man, you became new. And when you became new, God came to live on the inside of you. And for you to know that is transforming, amen? For you to know that you become a new creation in Christ Jesus is transforming. So when someone brings up your past, and they say, "Hey, Seth, remember in like 2008 when you did blah, 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 blah," you go, "Well, I believe that was my old man, but I'm a new man in Christ Jesus." You can literally separate your old man from your new man because you're a new creation. I say, "Yep, I have knowledge and memory of that, but that was not me. The real me has been born again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus." You need to let all the haunting stuff of your past just go. So many people are plagued by their past. That was your old man. That was your old man. Let your old man worry about it. He's in the grave. Amen? You're a new man in Christ Jesus. So what happens in the spirit at the time of your new birth is mind-boggling. And for us to not understand this impacts the depth of our foundation. There's so many truths that people do not know, and that it becomes a lifelong hindrance to their faith because of these things that they don't know that just happen in the new birth. And I've noticed this, that in the formative months, okay, as a new believer, when you're a new believer, you're a new Christian, those first few months, that first 12 months of your existence is where you begin to form your beliefs, okay? Put the pouring, to me, I call it our foundation. Oh, that's an ugly blown out picture. But if you picture this, I call it the cement, okay? So when you hear things as a young Christian, the wet cement is starting to form around your foundation, okay? And within that first year, that begins to form around you, and within that first year, it becomes hard and strong, and pretty soon you have a foundation of something, okay? It doesn't mean it's always good, but you have a foundation of something, and you believe it. I call it the law of firsts. Whatever you tell someone for the first time that they hear it, it becomes their belief in the system. So if they hear the wrong thing first, that's hard to shake out of them once that solidifies. It's like solid. It's a wrong belief. And it explains to me why I've spoken to so many people who are so adamant about wrong things. And they'll argue with you, and they'll want to debate with you, and they'll say stuff like, God may or may not heal the sick. God may or may not answer your prayer. God has chosen some for damnation, predestined. God does not bless you with natural blessings, only spiritual blessings. God puts sickness on people to teach them something. So people who say this stuff heard that somewhere. And in their formative stage in the new birth as new Christians, as they're hearing wrong teaching, it solidifies, it becomes their cement, and now it's in their belief system. And to shake that out of their belief system is way harder once that foundation solidifies, okay? So you need to ask yourself, what was my foundational experience like as a new Christian? Did I hear right things? Was I in a denominational church? Did I hear these odd things that helped form my belief system? But honestly, you guys, it needs to be the Word of God. Once a belief becomes solidified, it takes a lot of work to undo it, okay? Show me the next picture right here. Once a belief becomes solidified, it takes a lot of work to undo those thoughts that are in your mind, okay? And the only way to undo something that's not true or it's wrong teaching or things like that is with the Word of God and the Word of truth. Check out this scripture here. It says, Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. What is the hammer, you guys? The Word. God's Word. Amen? You can watch videos all day long about conspiracy theories about the Illuminati and how they're taking over the world, but that is not the Word of God, and it won't set you free, and it's not going to give you truth, and it's not going to break up the bad foundations that are not the truth of God, and your foundation is going to be weak. Let me just say this. Take the time you would watching the Illuminati videos and get some Word in you. Because the Bible says this, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. I would rather have the hammer working on me, breaking the stuff that's not truth. Not truth. When we see that, put that up again. This foundation here represents not truth, and you have to get God's word to chisel it out. So once that belief solidifies, it takes some work now to get it out. Now, I had a thing in my belief system that I brought into my Christianity. It wasn't necessarily because of bad teaching. It was what I brought into my Christianity based on my Catholic upbringing, okay? I was a good Catholic boy, okay? my testimony, went to church every week, went to church on all the holy days, knew how to do all the things, went the stuff, and heading straight to hell. Live like the devil and show up for church. Sometimes show up drunk. Half the other people were drunk too. It's just like, it's bad, right? But that was my reality. So in the Catholic Church, the priest, the man of God, the one who represented the authority of the Word of God, the one who represented the holiness of the ministry, took a vow of poverty. And they said, we're going to abstain from earthly goods, and we're not going to get married, and we're going to do these vows, okay? So in my head, that was my example, and I had this rock in my belief system that poverty and godliness were linked together. They were linked together. And so when I heard someone preach that God wanted to bless us, Pastor Ed was preaching it today. He's preaching good. He's like, you know, if you want a Rolls Royce, go get a Rolls Royce. So people with the wrong belief systems, like, do you want to be a godly man of God? Because you're not going to drive a Rolls Royce if you want to be a godly man of God. That's what would rise up in me. It was my belief system, and I'd reject the word. And so the word would come, and my belief system would be like, no, no, and I recognized it, right? And so I would debate in my mind, you know, like, well, is poverty really all bad? Is like, is godliness, you know, is, if you have stuff, are you still godly? It was in my belief system. And in the 1990s and in the 2000s, God rose up great teachers of God that taught the covenant, the blessings of God, the blessing of Abraham. And there was an emphasis in the body of Christ on this message about giving, about God's prosperity, about God's covenant. And these people were anointed. They were anointed. Guys, listen, I literally sat under hundreds of messages of the blessing of God. And finally, finally, I could say, God, bless me. Bless me. You can bless me all you want. I reject. Listen, know what the Bible teaches? Sinners have a curse on their life, and poverty chases the sinner. You can send your poverty to hell where the devil is, because I'm going after God where the covenant of blessing is on his people. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And if it hurts you to hear that, because that's the word. It's the word. The windows of heaven are open above me, you guys. There is poured upon me a blessing that I have no room to receive. Amen? As a tither, the enemy is rebuked. Guys, this is just Bible. That's all I'm saying is Bible. But I'm saying it like I believe it because I do. Listen, all nations look at me and they go, whoa, dude's blessed. Right? They do. All nations shall look upon you and call you blessed. They'll just see it. That guy's blessed. Blessed. See, I don't wrestle with that anymore. I just receive. I receive it. And the Bible says when faith is mixed with his word, power is a result. If you want to see something, if you want to see the prosperity of God, you need to agree with it. You can't fight it. You need to agree with it. You need to 2 feet dive in the deep end of God's word. Amen? But as young Christians, we form these belief systems, and they're not always the word of God, and it's our foundation, and our foundations are so important. What we believe is so important. Let me say this. I won't go there. So what you have to do, guys, is you have to overdose on God's word if you want to break up a bad belief system. You got to overdo it. You got to overdose, okay? Let me give you an example of what overdose is. Can I sit here and you can still see me? Okay, this is overdose. So you go down and you turn on YouTube on your thing and you check out like a prosperity message, right? And you might not be into prosperity, you didn't watch it. And you just sat through an hour and a half of prosperity and you're just like, okay, let's watch another one. And you really don't want to. You're just like, oh, that's the last thing I want to see. And you make yourself watch another one. And your head is like spinning, like, oh, I don't want to watch another one. And you make yourself watch another one. And your head boinks out because it has nothing to do with your head. And all of a sudden, your spirit man rises up and says, this is good. I want more. Give me more. And all of a sudden, you break through that carnal realm that's been holding you back, and your spirit man begins to be strong. You need to OD on the Word of God. You need your head to just boink out of the way and start getting it in your spirit man. Amen? And sometimes it's just you pushing yourself as far as that in the Word of God. And that's how you break the rock. That's how you break through. Amen? As a new Christian, I felt very fortunate to have gotten a good foundation in my formative early months. I recognize this now in my life. I don't even know the math. I don't even know how old I am in the spirit. Someone do some math for me. 1987 to now. 35. Guys, it's been decades and decades since I've been born again. God, give them wisdom of simple math. All I wanted was a little subtraction, guys. Notice how I didn't do it. But listen, I recognize now, decades and decades and decades later, because I got a good foundation, I am still reaping the benefits of a healthy, strong Christian life. My building keeps going higher because I have the foundation. And I watch other people. They don't have the foundation to hold the growth of God that God wants them to have. Amen. And so I was in college. I was in the first year of college. I got born again 2 weeks before I went to college. So I came to college as a born again human. The only thing I knew was I wasn't going to hell. That was my only revelation. Super happy about it, but nothing in my life was transformed. And I started to get into the Word of God. I asked my sister for some books. She sent me spiritual books. I began to read the spiritual books, and I began immediately to sense a call of God on my life. Okay? It was very overwhelming. It was very obvious. And then I read this scripture one day in 1 Corinthians 3, 18-23, it says this, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he might become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. He catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. I'm like, I am at school now to learn the wisdom of this world, and I'm sensing this call of God. I don't want to go after folly and foolishness. I want to go after God's word. So I made a decision to really press in to get some revelation as a new Christian. And, you know, don't do this at home. But I would skip my classes and go to the Tower Library at UMass Amherst up on like the 18th floor and study the Word of God and just be in the Holy Ghost, right? While I was supposed to be in philosophy or some type of class like that, and just studying and getting the Word of God in me. Good stuff, you guys. Stuff that I'm going to talk about over the, you know, we don't have a lot more time tonight, but we'll continue this. But good stuff that created a foundation, and it deposited great truths into my foundation. And by the time my cement hardened, oh, it was a good foundation, except for that prosperity stuff. Everything else was good. It was good. Amen. The good word of God. So let's look at a couple of truths, and then we're gonna wrap it up. Okay, let's look at some of these truths in the new birth. In the new birth, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, where is God? Oh God, sometimes I go to prayer and it doesn't feel like we're connecting. God, can you hear me? God, okay? And we have this distant, faraway God, this God that's far away from us, that, you know, we'll never be able to hear his voice. We'll never be able to know him. He's out there somewhere. His wisdom is beyond us. He's unreachable. God is a mystery. For some reason, I just hate when anyone talks like that. God's a mystery and everything's a mystery. It's like, do you read your Bible at all? He has revealed his mystery to us plainly in his word. Nothing is hidden unto us and those who follow after the Spirit. No, nothing is done. Remember when God went to destroy Sodom? He talked to his covenant man first. He's like, we got to tell Abraham. We're going to wipe the place out. Let's go talk to him. So they went to Abraham and they said, listen, we're going to do this. God's the same way with you. You're his covenant kids. There's nothing secret. He discusses everything with you. Okay, so we have this idea God is far and distant because we don't have our foundations. But it says here in Acts 17:24, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by men. God is not in a temple. Now, in the Old Testament, David's son Solomon built a house for God. And God, the temple in Jerusalem, and God literally came down in his presence into the Holy of Holies and sat over the mercy seat. He was in a temple made with hands, okay? And so the priest would come there and offer sacrifices for the people, and they would seek the face of God, literally seek the face of God in a building, okay? Everyone say this, but Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, you guys. And listen, when Jesus died on the cross, God moved out of the temple made with hands. Look at the scripture here, Matthew 27. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. This is when Jesus died on the cross. And it says, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. The curtain that held back God's holy presence was ripped open from the top, not like from down here, literally from the top down, and God, he left a house made with hands. Amen? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? In the new birth, God comes by his Spirit to live, literally live on the inside of you, in your spirit man. Okay? Honestly, just from speaking to people, I would say 70%+ of people do not know this in a reality. They know it in their head. Because if you really thought the creator of the universe lived in you, you would have this, what it says here, Godfidence. Do you have that on there? No? If you literally knew the creator of the world lived in you, you would not be walking around with anxiety and fear. This is how I look at it. Everywhere I go, it's a fixed fight. It's a fixed fight. The creator of everything we see in the celestial and in the micro level, created all, is in me. Okay? And there are people who don't have that. And so when you come into a situation, it's almost like you already won. It's almost like you already have the advantage. You have the upper hand. That's how I feel about it anyways. You have this confidence that's known as Godfidence because you're not confident in you. The Bible says, greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. And we need to understand that God is not in a temple made with hands, and he's not a faraway God, but he has decided to reside in us as the children of God. And that has a real effect on our lives. It has a real effect on everything we do. I look at it this way. You're just a miracle waiting to happen on someone. You are. You literally are. You believe that or you don't. You believe it or you don't. The greater one lives on the inside of you. So back in 1980, eight, maybe, 1988, I leave school and I decide to try to pursue a call, you know, however you do that, right? So I decide to do that. But I come home and I need to get a job, and I'm a 1980s like heavy metal musician with long hair down to here, okay? Like really long hair, and I had a job already working in a warehouse, and like it would happen a lot. Old men would come up behind me and say, "Excuse me, missy. Excuse me, honey." And he'd be like, "Oh, she's so, like, you know, either I'm the ugliest woman he's ever seen, or he realizes I'm a guy, okay? Excuse me, missy." And so people can judge you. I remember we had this ministry in church where we would go and minister in the nursing homes. And then we would minister to the old people, and we would go up to them at the end and say, "Is there anything we can pray with you about?" You know, one-on-one time. And so I go up to this one lady, "Is there anything we can pray with you about?" And she said, "I am going to make you a good soup. You know, the next time you come here, I'm going to give you some soup because us girls need to stick together." She thinks I'm a girl. I have like a beard growing in and everything. God, I just pray for that ugly girl. Get her some soup. So I knew my long hair was not, it was more of a detriment than it was a positive thing when you go for a job, okay? It's like, "Hey, I'm here for a job, okay? Do you want to hire me?" So so I began to learn the Word of God, right? And I'd be like, "You know what? I don't care. I all prejudice, I just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father, I just receive your favor. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world." And when I was working in that warehouse, someone gave me a tip, and he said, "Hey, go down to this other place. Tell them I sent you, and see if you can get a job down there. I know someone." This was at Putnam Investments back in 1988. And so I come knocking out the door, you know, in Braintree. It was like a distribution center. "Hey, someone said I can come here and get a job." And they're like, "You don't get jobs here. You got to go to Quincy and go through them. And, you know, where you don't do that here. But why don't you come in?" Right? So I went there fully convinced that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I came there fully convinced that I am the favorite of God. I came there fully convinced that good things happen to me because I'm his child. Not because I'm great, because the greater one lives on the inside of me. Listen, guys, you either believe it or you don't. So many Christians have no reality that the greater one lives on the inside of them. They walk in fear. They walk, you know, they're just afraid of everything. "Oh, the devil, the devil, the devil." Really? Really? Because the devil's like, "Oh, the God in you, the God in you." Like, that's how he really is. And he sees you and he's like, "Yeah, yeah." But that should be our foundation, right? This is like foundational. This is like this is the basics. And out of our foundation should come our actions, right? So long story short, this guy, he says, "You know, I don't know why I'm doing this, but let me show you around, okay?" And he shows me around, and this is how he introduces me. He said, "Look what an angel brought to us." That's what he said. I'm like, "You know it. You know it." It was tough in the 80s, man. You couldn't have your window down because it would blow your hair everywhere, and you'd have to roll it up and be hot. Guess who got the job? Right? Right? Should we be surprised? No, but we should have those testimonies. We should all have those testimonies because we're putting... So when you mix faith with God's word, things happen, right? Sometimes things aren't happening because... Either we just have no foundation and we have nothing that we're acting out of, or we're acting out of the goodness of God. Amen? So we should have those foundations. So where is God, you guys? It says here. Actually, let me finish with this one point. What is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you? I heard a preacher say this recently, and it just bothered me so much. I don't know what God's saying. I don't hear his voice. I don't know what his will is. All I know is we should love people. I'm like, really? Like, do you just ignore half of the Bible? What do you mean? Like, God... What is God saying to you? He should be saying something to you, okay? He should be. Look at here, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells where, you guys? In you. If that Spirit's in you, and it is, the Spirit of God dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells where? In you. Verse 14, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Easier way to understand that is to flip it around. They that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You should have this confession at a minimum, okay? Especially if you have a hard time knowing his will, knowing his voice, all that type of stuff. This should be your confession. I am his sheep and I know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, right? I am a child of God. I am to be led by the Spirit of God, okay? Some people don't know how to be led by the Spirit of God, but you absolutely, in every situation that you allow God to come in, he will lead you in those situations if you give him permission. Let's keep reading. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does God's Spirit speak to you? He bears witness on your spirit. Not in your head, not in your mind, not through, Pastor Mike, I was going through this time, and I said, God, if you show me a pink cloud, then I'll know it's your will. Oh, there was a pink cloud, and that's my will. That's not how God leads you. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit as a child of God. You are led by the Spirit in your spirit, not by, outward things. Okay, so I gave God this thing. I said, God, if it's two lefts, if I see a license plate and there's two T's in it, then I know it's your will. Listen, you guys, the devil can throw you two T's all day long because he's the god of the world. He can don't put your leading out into his realm, okay? You are led in the inner man by the Spirit, because where is God, guys? He's inside you in your spirit, and he's going to bear witness with your spirit. You're just going to know things supernaturally. Things are just going to rise up in you. The other day I was going out of the house. I was like, all right, Holy Spirit, am I forgetting anything? I just feel this check. Yep, forgetting. Okay, I'm like, all right, what? And then I saw my bag that I was supposed to take with me. Ah, thank you. Bag on, go. Just everyday life, you guys. But he bears witness. You just, in your spirit, you just get like a oop. You just know it. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. What voice are we hearing? We're hearing God's voice because we are his kids, because he abides on the inside of us. We expect to hear his voice. We need to be God inside minded, okay? Not the far God that's far away, untouchable, he's never going to touch my life. That's not even the word, okay? That's not even truth. What I'm giving you is just truth, and that truth will set you free. Amen. This is where I'm going to unhook you guys. This is where I'm going to unhook. Seth was reminding me earlier. Esther, Seth was reminding me, the one who the phone goes off during the service. Me and Alex were at a funeral. And it was during COVID, it was an outdoor funeral. And so Alex was going to sing. What was I doing there? Was I the sound guy? I forget why I was there. Besides knowing the person, right? So I said, Alex, this is what we're going to do. I'll bring a little speaker, a little Bluetooth speaker, and then we'll play your song through it, and you can sing through it. So besides it being negative 20 wind chill, it was so miserable. Right during this really serious part, the preacher was going way too long, right? You should understand, like, everyone's freezing. Everyone's old, so he's going on and on and on. And right during that time, maybe even my Bluetooth speaker goes off, and it plays a Samsung ringtone with like electro music. And I'm like, where's that coming from? She's like, that's you, that's you, that's not me, but that's you. You're with the gloves. Ruin the funeral. No. So that's nothing. That was nothing. Let's do this. Everyone stand up. You guys are going to press in tonight, right? Come on, everyone who has two legs, let's come up front. We're going to go ahead and worship you guys, and I want you to press in. Get used to this. Holy fire is coming next week, guys. Holy fire is coming next week. Don't feel uncomfortable. Hey, be comfortable feeling uncomfortable. Get up here. Come on. It's okay. No one's going to hurt you. We're going to worship.